Hello and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today, we are back with a catch-up episode. We're going to catch you guys up on everything going on in our lives. We've had a couple busy weeks, especially this past week, and have a lot of fun stories to share. So that's what we'll be doing today. But first, we're going to do our peaks of the week because we're skipping the catch-up because pretty much the whole episode is a catch-up. So we'll do peaks of the week and then get into the episode.
Amazing. I am dying to hear how New York went. So,
oh my God.
Very happy we are dedicating the whole episode to getting all of the juicy details.
Yes. And excited to hear about your travels.
Well, thank you. I'm sure you have a lot of things that could be a peak of the week, but which one is going to take the cake?
I don't know. So, I guess I'll say my peak of the week was seeing one of my best friends, B, in New York City with McKenna. Me and McKenna and B got dinner because, yeah, she lives there. And also, she's leaving. She's moving back to the West Coast in a couple months. So, her lease is ending in New York. So, she is leaving. So, I'm happy that I got to see her in her final weeks in New York City and went to one of the restaurants, Rin Tin Tin, that she went when she'd first moved there. So it was a very full circle moment. And yeah, obviously loved catching up with her and having a nice dinner in Nolita.
Okay, cute. One last final New York era for the two of you guys. That's a big deal that she's moving.
I know. She was there 2 years and liked it a lot, but I think she said she likes the West Coast better. And I totally see that for her. She's such a West Coast gal in my mind. She still lived in San Diego and then moved to San Diego to New York. And I'm like, you're such a California girl. So, and she's originally from St. Louis and we met at Mizzou. So yeah, I'm like, I'm sad for you that your New York chapter is over, but at the same time, it makes so much sense. I'm like, you're going to be thriving back again on the West Coast.
Well, two great places to have lived and experienced. Mm-hmm. So I feel like New York or moving to a big city that's like on someone's dream, it's like you might as well just do it and try it. It doesn't have to be forever, even a year or two. So much can happen and you can experience a lot in that amount of time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think she just wanted to do it and she did it. And now on to the next, which is very exciting and fun and glad we got to see her. Well, it was the end of that era. So that's my peak. What about you?
I'm going to pick two peaks that have nothing to do with what I'll say in the catch-up, just so I can share these. One is super lame, but it's going to make my life so much easier. I finally got approved for a Dutch bank account. It was taking so long because I had to have a Dutch phone, but we couldn't get the Dutch phone or the bank account until our BSN was approved. So we finally got the BSN number, and now I have an actual Dutch phone. And so this is actually now my first time having data when I'm not at home.
Wow.
So for 3 months that we've been here, a little over 3 months, every single time I leave the house, I don't have data, which I could have solved it earlier. One of our sweet listeners was like, you can just go get like a track phone. And I'm like, I know. I just wanted to experience life without being on my phone out there. And I do think it did make it like a great summer to just be like sitting at the park or on a walk and be like, okay, no data. And I leave my phone at home half the time. But now it's good for emergencies or something to have the Dutch phone number. And there's like a bunch of apps that we need a Dutch phone for. And having the bank account, they like don't use PayPal or Venmo here. So now there's other things that we can buy and it makes us feel much more like actual local citizens. So I felt very excited about that. And then my fun peak yesterday. Yeah, today's Sunday. Yesterday, I went to a Radiance retreat. It was for moms and moms-to-be over in Amsterdam. One of the instructors that instructs at my yoga studio here, she was hosting it. And it was such a beautiful event. I met so many really nice people and just left feeling like my cup was so full. And I'm glad I did that for myself. Not that I wasn't going to, but it was definitely worth doing.
Yeah, well, congrats on the bank account. That sounded like quite the process when you had been giving us updates. And yeah, sounds like a nice event to start the week off with.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's going to make our lives much easier. And now I'm going into tomorrow feeling relaxed and rejuvenated.
All right. Well, reading your guys' peaks, Haley said, I won the Daisy Award at work. That's amazing. Congratulations. And nice to be appreciated for your hard work.
Oh my God. I'm going to read this one from Gabby because literally same today. She said, this is so adult, but I got a new vacuum and it works so well. My vacuum also came today and I was getting every crevice and like the fact that the vacuum cleaner was so clean and it was just sucking so well. I relate.
Oh yeah.
It's very satisfying.
Could not agree more. When I got to get a vacuum, I was disgusted that I had lived for years before not getting the carpet and the floor is that clean. I'm like, what the heck? This is repulsive, but also so satisfying.
A good vacuum takes things up a notch for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mac said, planning a Paris trip with my mom. That sounds lovely. Love Paris. Hope you guys have a great time.
Okay, this one is channeling the energy of last week's episode. Kylie said, purged our house to donate and cleaned so much, and I've been going on morning walks with my baby. I am also relating to that, not the baby part, but purging and cleaning. I was inspired from last week's episode and have been getting into it, but I'll share more about that later.
As always, send in your peaks on our Instagram page, Already Friends Podcast. We post the Instagram story box where you can submit it every Monday.
Amazing. Okay, drum roll. Tell us everything. How was New York? I'm sure there's all this other stuff too that I don't even know an inkling about.
So many things. I wrote down a bunch of notes, but we're not going to hit it all. But I'm like, okay, here's so many things that happened. Just got back from New York with my sister. We went for 3 days, 4 days, Tuesday through Friday. And originally booked this because McKenna got invited to a Matilda Jerf, Jerf Avenue event. And then also got me invited. So shout out McKenna. And that was the main thing we went for. But then, of course, got into some other shenanigans. Once I landed and told McKenna that I barely made it, she was like, oh my God, of course. But not surprised, but happy that I made it. We realized that we were 10 minutes from the U.S. Open. So we Ubered to the U.S. Open, dropped our bags off at a luggage storage place. I just Googled luggage storage. And there was Google reviews like, oh, we put our bags at this place for the U.S. Open. Because I figure there's other people doing that too, either showing up and going before their hotel is ready or leaving and going or when they're at the end of their trip and then going to the airport. So found a place. It was $5 each. Had our bags held there, walked to the Open. We got $50 last minute tickets on StubHub for the grounds passes, which is basically you get access to all of the courts except the main stage court. That one you have to have main arena tickets for, which those were $200 even last minute, which we're like, okay, we don't like tennis that much. Like if we had been tennis fans, yes, that would have been cool. But for $200 for people who don't like tennis, and we could watch all the other games, like the juniors matches, there was wheelchair matches, seniors, like all the other very talented players you could watch as well for $50. I'm like, yeah, we just want to go see the vibe, see some future stars. We saw like the 16, 17, 18 year old matches. So we're like, okay, those are the people that are going to be on the main stage in 5-10 years. But it was really fun. We tried the viral US Open drink, the Honey Deuce, and it was very good. So I can confirm, if you've seen the queue, it's a cocktail that has melons that look like tennis balls on top. And we can confirm it actually was really good. So that was fun. Fun little New York event.
At what point did you guys have this idea? I love that you did it, but were you on the flight?
No, we were in the Delta Lounge eating breakfast because, oh, I meant to say this on the podcast. Fun fact, that's one of the only lounges that you can go into once you land. Pretty much every airport lounge, they only let you come in if you have a flight leaving. But Delta, it probably won't last forever. I feel like they're going to take away this benefit any day now. But they're one of the only lounges that lets you enter upon arrival as well. So keep your ticket and go into the Delta Lounge to get breakfast. Because I'm like, okay, let's save $15, $20 in New York. Let's eat breakfast when we land, get a coffee, and then head into the city. So we're eating breakfast. We landed at the exact same time. And so we were eating breakfast. And McKenna was like, wait, the US Open is this week? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, where is that? And I'm like, I think it's in the Bronx. I'm like, I don't know where. I couldn't remember because I went in 2019, but I just could not remember where it was. And we looked it up and it was literally 3 miles away, 10-minute Uber ride. And McKenna's like, we should go and just... like, because I was like, can you walk around or just go and just feel, see the atmosphere? And I found out it's, you just buy a grounds pass and they're pretty cheap. So it was all McKenna, honestly. But then we're like, we got to hustle because at that point it was 9:45 and the match started at 11 or 11:30. So we ran into the bathroom, got changed, got ready, and then headed out. So that's how that came to be.
I love that you as the older sister like taught McKenna so well. And then McKenna ended up being so cool. And now she's just bringing it all full circle, giving you the gift back.
I know. I think with all my stories I'm telling, I think my type of travel, McKenna's type of travel, maybe not even McKenna, but just the spontaneity, the plan, the type B, not knowing what time my flight is, I think it would actually send people into a spiral, because I know that I have friends that would not roll like that. If I was like, oh, let's just go to the US Open, be like, but we have plans, like there's an itinerary, and they're like breaking down. So my type, this type of travel is definitely not for everybody. But that was really fun. Okay, I need to get to the main thing, the Matilda Jerf event, and then I can say the rest of my stories and then you can talk, because I'm like, I'm talking way too much right now. The main thing that we were there for was this Jerf Avenue event. And I just have to say, I have been following Matilda Jerf for as long as she's been huge. I feel like she's been a big influencer since 2017, 2018. I don't even know. But she's obviously the OG inspo, OG Pinterest girl. Like if you looked up Scandinavian style or just streetwear style back in 2018, 2019, it was all Matilda Jerf. Like she's the blueprint. And McKenna has supported her brand, Jerf Avenue, for forever. So I've liked Matilda. McKenna has loved Matilda, like loved her stuff, followed her, supported the brand. I have just followed her. I never actually bought anything from the brand. So I was just going in, like, obviously Matilda's great, but I didn't know anything really too much. I was trying to not give away that I didn't know like everything about the brand and about her. When I tell you I'm like the number one super fan now, I will be a Matilda Jerf and Jerf Avenue ride or die for the rest of my life. Because one, this girl is so nice, so incredibly genuine. I've been to so many influencer events, brand events where you meet people, like can wholeheartedly say she's like the nicest, most genuine person I've ever met. Like I was trying to be conscious talking with her because I'm like, there's all these people that want to talk to her. I was trying to be quick and just be like, thanks for the event, thanks for inviting us, blah, blah. But she kept asking me and McKenna questions and like kept engaging in conversation, like genuinely was curious about us. Oh, your sisters, like where do you guys live, blah, blah. Just so sweet. And I will wholeheartedly support her and sing her praises, because not only was she just the kindest person, like literally talked to every single person, full conversations, not just hi, hello, take a picture, like genuinely wanted to know where everyone was from, how they got there, where they're staying, what they were doing. Like, yeah, I've never seen someone give so much attention and time to everybody, which has to be exhausting. I'm like, I can't imagine how tired she's gonna be after this. But also the event was insane. They rented out a townhouse in Murray Hill, which is in Midtown, this insanely gorgeous home with the most insane bathroom, kitchen. It was stunning. Probably the nicest townhouse home in New York City I've ever been in. But it was head to toe decorated in Jerf Avenue decor. It was all slumber party, Princess Diaries 2 themed. That was the inspo. So when she has that big Mia Thermopolis in Princess Diaries 2, which is the big slumber party with all the different princesses, that was the aesthetic. And it totally felt like we were in that. And everyone was wearing PJs. It was just a big PJ party. There was pizza, cake. I mean, the most insane, beautiful event I've ever been to. And the whole Jerf Avenue team is so nice. Every single person, like the CEO, COO, CFO, they're all talking to us, all chatting, so friendly. The social media team, like, I am going to be their number. I'm like, they built a mega fan in this event. Like, I'm going to be the creepy. They got to watch out for me. I'm going to be on a list. Like, I'm obsessed with them now. And I will not tolerate any Matilda Jerf or Jerf Ab slander ever again. I'm like, I will be in the comments fighting for their lives because I'm obsessed.
Okay. Love all of that so much. And you know that quote that's like, never meet your heroes, which yeah. I guess she wasn't like your hero, like admired from afar.
Yes.
But I'm glad to hear a positive encounter, that it wasn't disappointing. That's so great.
Yeah, it's like, don't, I don't know what this like phrase would be, but don't meet people you admire because you're gonna become a super fan. That is my experience. Like truly, truly obsessed with her. And the next day we came back because we got invited to go during the day because the slumber party was a private event. Then they had a public showing where you could have reserved a time slot and have gone and walked through. So there was free tickets. And then we went back and she was there and she's like, yoo-hoo, the sisters. Like she remembered us. And I'm like, what the heck? That's so impressive. And she came and chatted with us again. I'm like, okay, I don't know. I just cannot imagine being this girl. Like being Matilda sounds very stressful. Like she's a very successful brand, massive influencer, doing interviews, doing press all in this week in New York. And I'm like, wow. So chat with people and remember what they were talking about and not be exhausted. I'm like, dang, she's go, go, go. But yeah, all I'm saying is that I'm a mega fan now. I love her.
Okay, run us through what the influencer campaign event was. Like, were they launching slumberware PJ sets? And this was to pre-promote that?
So I don't think they were necessarily launching something, but every year for the last 3 years. So I think not last year they did a London event, but the year before. So 2 years ago, I guess. I'm sorry. This is the third year. On September 3rd of 2023, they decided to do a New York City Fashion Week event. And it was very inclusive and it got a lot of good press. They had people of all different shapes, sizes, walks of life, different abilities, different everything walk in a fashion show in Jerf Avenue, which truly you don't see every day. And I think ever since that day, 2 years ago, they decided that September 3rd would always be Jerf Avenue Day and they would do something cool, some sort of fashion show or event, whatever. So that was in New York 2 years ago. Last year on September 3rd, they did a London event. I got all the lowdown from Rudy there. They did a very successful London event, but something again, just to celebrate Jerf Ave. Maybe they launched something that year. Maybe they launched something 2 years ago, but again, they just decided that September 3rd was their day. So then this year, the townhouse was their September 3rd moment. So just celebrating the brand, celebrating that they've been around. I think they launched in 2019, celebrating 6 years of the brand. And yeah, there was no new products, but I think just more of a celebration of being around and having been running for 6 years.
Okay, adorable. And that makes sense then why they invited McKenna, because she's been so supportive of the brand. Mm-hmm. So more of a way to give back to their audience and their community rather yes. than promoting some upcoming thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so everyone okay. cool. that got invited to the slumber party pretty much was some sort of brand ambassador or big supporter. And it was their way of thanking the loyal members of the community.
Wow. That's nice. Yeah, you don't usually see that often either. Usually the people that get invited to those things are the influencers with massive followings. So that's really cool.
Yes. And that's been an initiative of different brands, I feel like, recently, that they're trying to reward their most loyal customers instead of just bringing people to events that have never bought anything from them. Oops, guilty. But, you know, instead of doing that, which of course, both have their pros and cons, by inviting big influencers to events, you're getting free marketing, free publicity, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, there's people who spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on your brand and then they don't get anything just because they're not an influencer. That doesn't seem right either. So I love that they incorporated both. I think they did have some big influencers come by during the day, the next couple of days. And I think they did a dinner with some of Matilda's friends and stuff. So a mix of both, I think, is the way to do it. Because I've seen there's brands like Waterboy. They're an electrolyte drink. They've done big fan number one customer trips where they take their biggest customers to Mexico. So yeah, I've seen other brands trying to incorporate that because it is nice to thank the people who are in real life influencers and supporting and influencing their circles, as well as getting that free, I don't know, eyes on your brand through big influencers.
Absolutely.
But yes, just to describe the event, what we actually did, basically every single room was an activation. So in the first room, they had free 5-minute journals and you can decorate it with Jerf Avenue stickers, different patterned papers. We basically got to make your custom journal and I put different stickers and Jerf Avenue stuff on it. So cute. And then you could journal, take pictures in there. They had a Polaroid camera, write notes in the big, kind of like a little yearbook, memory book. And then you go up the stairs. There was a cute pajama party set up so you could get pictures, try on different pajamas. It was also a little shopping experience too, because that next day it was a public townhouse so people could shop the different pajama collections and some of the newer patterns that they have upstairs. Yeah, more rooms. They had skincare. They have Jerf Avenue Beauty now, so you could try out the skincare products. People were helping with hair care products. They had the Skinny Confidential there, showing the massage rollers, doing little massages with the rollers. I mean, just open bar, drinks, food. Mostly I was just chatting with all the other gals and just meeting other people in the community. And oh, I should say, when I was talking to Matilda, because again, I didn't want to take up too much of her time because I felt like I was only invited because of McKenna. So I just felt like a poser. And I'm like, there's other people here that really want to talk to her. But even though everyone got to talk to her fully, and we ended up talking to her multiple times. But when I first talked to her, I was like, you should be so proud of what you built, because everyone I've talked to here is amazing, like genuinely nice girls. And you should be so proud that your brand attracts these people, because that's just so impressive that I can get along with anyone in this room. And that's all because you are the connector and your brand. And she's like, oh my God, you're so nice. Like, stop it. I'm like, no, seriously, that is such an impressive feat. Like, every single person I met was such a gem, such a nice gal. And a big group of us, even after the event, went and got drinks afterwards because we enjoyed each other's company so much. And I was like, girl, you should be so proud of that, because that's amazing. I don't think many brands can say the same about their community.
No, I was literally just about to say, I feel like in the world of fashion, content creator, influencing, marketing, it's not usually the norm to have such a positive experience. And not to say that there's not really great people and super genuine and authentic brands out there, but for such a girl's girl type of brand where it's so female based, for there not to be pettiness or drama or gossip happening, that's really cool to hear about. And clearly that is a culture that she's created over many years that has taken, you know, time and effort to cultivate.
Yes. So all the other people there were so kind, so sweet. And yeah, made some friends. We'll stay in touch with them. And yeah, just have to sing Matilda's praises. She was literally like, because I kept saying, you should be so proud, because I'm like, this is incredible. Not only is the event amazing and so well done, like their event team did an amazing job, but just the people there were so, so sweet. Literally every single person. And she was like, you're boosting my ego way too much right now. And I'm like, no, literally call me anytime. Anyone's ever trying to put you down. I was like, remember, she needs to remember that she's that girl. Like, she is the blueprint. Like, she's that girl. And I guess I'm saying this because she has, people have been a little harsh online in the last couple of years about her. And I'm like, this is such unwarranted backlash. I'm like, I'm literally about to be fighting people in the comments. Like, no, stop it. She is that girl. Because now I'm comparing that to other quote unquote big influencers I've met. And of course, we all have our days. But I'm just like, she's genuinely one of the most nice, authentic people I've met. And it just felt like she was doing what she was meant to do. You know, when someone's just like living and walking in exactly what they're meant to do, so authentic, I could feel that from her.
I mean, there's no way she could maintain doing all of this and being, quote, Matilda Durf and cranking out the amount of content and building up this brand if she wasn't
authentic,
genuinely like meant to be doing that. Like, you would get so burned out at some point. So obviously she is very creative. She's in her zone of genius. She's happy. And even if there are, I'm sure, stressful, overwhelming moments, like, she's doing something that lights her up. So it's very inspiring.
Well, I could say 800 other million things, because every day was full of the funniest and most random things. But on the way there, I am silly. Okay, here's the funny thing. I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast before. Lately, I've been enjoying driving myself to the airport, because I just hate getting in Ubers all the time. I don't know. I love the comfort of my own car. It's literally only 20 minutes. I'm not even going far. 15, 20 minutes, depending on the traffic, to the airport. But I've gotten in this bad habit of just wanting to drive myself and then having to park and take a shuttle to the airport. I need to get out of this habit, because on this recent trip, I got to the airport 30 minutes before my flight, but it took me 25 minutes to get from the parking lot to the airport. So if I would have gotten dropped off in an Uber at the same time that I left my house, I would have been 30 minutes early for my flight. But the fact that the shuttle, so I got in the shuttle, then we waited like 10, 15 minutes for the shuttle to fill up. Then the shuttle left the parking lot and dropped everyone off at the other terminal first. And so by the time that I stepped out of the shuttle, it had taken 25 minutes, which is just like, okay, I got to get back on the Ubers, because not only, I'm pretty sure I spent more on the parking than I would have to just get an Uber and then have Connor pick me up leaving. I think an Uber would have been like $25. I paid $50 to park for 3 days. Not my brightest moment. But anyways, if you guys saw on my Instagram,
TikTok. Pause.
But yeah.
I feel like St. Louis and Omaha are semi-comparable. How come Epley, their long-term parking is $6? St. Louis is robbing you guys.
Yeah, it's $11 a day for the worst
in the 4 days. Okay.
Yeah. So I got charged 4 days. Yeah. I don't know why it was $50. I'm not really sure. I think it was like, maybe it was like $12 a day. It fluctuates. Yeah, I know. So, and that was the parking spot, which is off. It's like,
yeah, like away,
4 miles away.
In the
yeah.
back. Economy.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm getting into the airport with 2 minutes until boarding. And I made this whole video about it. And on the shuttle, I'm mad at myself because I wrote my video like, oops, starting to panic. But I actually wasn't, because in my head, I'm like, airport theory, which if you guys haven't seen this, the airport theory is basically you don't need as much time as you think you do. Even if you're running pretty late, you can pretty much always make your flight. That's the theory. And in my head, I'm like, airport theory, airport theory. So I actually didn't get anxious or worried. And you know, it's funny, TSA pre-check literally every time takes like 2 minutes in St. Louis because it's a small airport. Of course, I get there. The line's like 25 people deep in TSA pre-check. It's literally not moving. Like, there's no one in the x-rays. The x-rays are completely empty. But for some reason, the lady checking our IDs, like, total standstill. I don't know if the computer was down. I don't know what was going on. So I did kind of scramble and panic a little bit there. But got through. You can watch my video. Basically, the guy in Clear was like, Clear's open. If you guys have the Amex Platinum, if you have this credit card, go through Clear. You have Clear. And I was just standing there, not moving. I'm like, oh, okay, now we're down to 10 minutes till the gate's closing. Like, we got to hustle. And I asked the guy, I'm like, do I have Clear? Can you look up my name? Because he's like, yeah, if you have this credit card, you have Clear. I'm like, okay, well, I have that credit card. And he pulled up my name. He's like, you have Clear. Go ahead. And so I went ahead, get to the end. They're like, oh, yeah, you have an account. Just scan your ID and you're good to go. And then the lady was like, oh, and you need to update your payment method. I'm like, and it's literally $200. And so I'm like, okay, so I don't have Clear. Like, you guys literally scammed me. I don't know. Everyone's like, you can just call your credit card company and cancel it. Maybe I'll cancel it. But then also, I don't hate Clear. I've had it before. So it's not like not worth $200, but I just don't like that that guy definitely tricked me into doing it. He was like, you have Clear.
Yeah, he conned you.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think he meant to, but when you look up someone's name and you're like, oh yeah, you have it. Go. Like, what are you doing? Go in that line. I'm like, ugh. So it was just kind of a misunderstanding. But
it kind of changed the energy of being like, oh, I'm going to get this for myself to make it really convenient to just kind of getting forced into it.
Yes. Yeah. And so that wasn't great. But then I made my flight. So it was fine. It worked out. I got to cut the line. And then my gate was the first one out of security. So it was truly fine. They hadn't even finished boarding all the groups. I had time. I think with that whole experience, I posted the video online, of course. Thank you for validating me. I'm like, I literally wasn't stressed. Like, I was going to make it. Even if I hadn't used the Clear, by the time I had gotten to the front of Clear after me scanning my ID, after me paying, the girl that was in front of me was like three behind. So I think I would have still been fine because then the pre-check line started moving. But I truly think some people are so psycho and overreact. Like, people are like, you're so dumb if you do this. And I'm like, I am so glad I'm not like that, sitting at the airport 2 hours early because I'm so stressed. I'm so glad my brain is not wired that way because some of these people sound so miserable.
I think it definitely comes from how much we've traveled, where we know exactly when and how much we can push it.
Yes.
And because of how many times we've pushed it, 98% of the way there, and it still works out, it encourages this bad behavior.
Yeah.
And then there's no reason to change our ways in the future because, knock on wood, same, I've never missed a flight like from anything like this. Like, maybe if the first flight was delayed like 4 hours, but never because of my lollygagging.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that I will lollygag and then my flight will get delayed like 15 minutes, just enough. I'm like, don't do that. You're making me even more validated.
No, so literally.
I support this.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we're friends and that we understand each other because, yeah, I could have still been in the pre-check line, still would have made it. And same, I've never missed a flight. I've missed one flight and it was because it blizzarded. There was a blizzard in Omaha that morning and the roads were closed. And so I just got on a later flight. Like, I didn't even leave my house. So
you chose to not go.
I could not make it physically get there. Yeah, I've had many close calls with the airport theory and it has always proven true. So yeah, at first I was like starting to defend myself in the comments, but then I'm like, actually, it's so much. When I see other people defending themselves in the comments, it's really embarrassing to me because I'm like, you don't have to prove yourself. Like, these people don't know you. So then I deleted all my defending myself comments. I'm like, I actually don't care. Boost the engagement, be mad in the comments because there are a lot of mad people, but it's funny.
Like, what? They're mad that they think you're holding up the plane?
And then the plane had to wait for her. I'm like, they were literally still boarding group 7 and we hadn't even boarded group 8. Like, there were still 20 people at the gate waiting to board. And I think someone else is like, how could you be so irresponsible? And I'm like, you're right. People just don't understand travel because I'm like, okay, what would have happened if I missed this flight? I would have just gone on the next one for free. Like, it literally does not cost money to get on. If you miss your flight, there's the flat tire rule, whereas if you were late for any reason that was out of your control, like the shuttle taking long, like literally anything, I could have been like, the shuttle took 30 minutes. I was in the airport vicinity, but we got stuck. They'd be like, yeah, just get on the next one. Like, I don't think people realize. Also, it's the burnt toast theory. If I wasn't supposed to get on that plane, I wasn't supposed to get on that plane. Like, I'll just get on the next one. Obviously, that would have sucked. It would have been a little inconvenient, but I don't know. Some people are just so holier than thou. Oh my God, I would never do this. And another funny comment, I stopped reading the comments. I'm like, okay, clearly it had so many views and like no likes. So I'm like, clearly people are not liking my behaviors in this video. But someone commented, I would never try this at the St. Louis airport. That is the last airport I would try this at. I'm like, okay, clearly you do not travel because this is the first airport.
Easiest option.
This is the easiest airport to test this theory out. I'm like, tell me you don't leave your house without telling me you don't get out much, because last airport I would test this out, Newark, ATL, Boston. I'm like, I can think of like 10 worse airports to try this out at. But yeah, so it's just funny.
I made a video, nothing to the extent of yours, a couple years ago on the Omaha Local, of me eating breakfast in my apartment and saying something like, gotta love Epley because you can go from breakfast to boarding in literally 20 minutes tops. And people were very supportive. They were like, oh, love our girl, Miss Epley. Like, RIP, yes. Her turning into an international airport. The golden days are going to be gone. And I mean, the reach that it went to was obviously like just Omaha people, because I put it on an Omaha account and it got nowhere near the traction that yours did. But people were a little bit more supportive of Miss Epley. So people around the world, maybe that's why we have this behavior. Because yeah, like if my now like Amsterdam being my quote home airport, cannot go breakfast to boarding at Schiphol in 20 minutes.
I can't, barely even getting breakfast to lunch. It's taking 3 hours.
Huge difference.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's the Nebraska nice for you. Look at all those supportive Nebraskans being like, yeah, eat your breakfast and then go. But last thing I'll say on the airport shenanigans, on the way out of New York, I'm kind of just like jumping all over timeline wise, but like this just shows how my brain is and how type B I am and just chill. I thought my flight was at 4:30 p.m. It was at 4:15 p.m. So I thought I was getting there an hour and a half early. I was actually getting there an hour 15 early. And then there were some delays in our subway bus journey. So I'm literally getting there with 20 minutes until boarding. And I filmed another airport theory video, which I'm like, people are just going to lose their minds. Like, they're going to think I'm stupid, but I don't care. Tell me why I walk up the escalators to security. I'm the only person in security. I walked through. I went from entrance to the Delta lounge in 2 minutes.
Wow.
Like, some of these people need to chill out. It is not that serious.
You know, maybe to have some compassion for people who aren't traveling all the time. And honestly, thank you to those people, because someone has to get on the plane first. Someone has to be there in boarding groups 1 through 5 to get things going so that I can slide in the last 5 minutes.
That's so true, because that's what one of the supportive comments said. It was like, well, we can't all do the airport theory. So, you know, because like, if we all did the airport theory, none of us would make it. I'm like, that's so true. But yeah, no, general boarding. Well, my brother, Riley, doesn't have pre-check. And he was like, no, the airport theory is real, even for general boarding. He's like, I have never waited more than 15 minutes. Obviously, there's going to be the one-off occasions. Like, I have flown recently out of St. Louis, and even pre-check, all the lines are really long. So I don't always like to push it. I'm not doing the airport theory every time I fly. The moral of the story is, like, I just wasn't so stressed either times. I'm like, it's going to be fine. So yeah, and I was flying on a Tuesday and a Friday night. And I feel like in my brain too, the times where it was a little bit busier, it was like a Sunday morning. It was a Thursday, like those really busy travel days where people are either coming home from a trip or leaving for a trip. So always keep that in mind. But yeah, made it just fine. So I guess moral of the story is there was a lot of backlash, but you're right. I really don't care, because I don't need to convince anyone else to do this, because it's great that so few of us are doing this that it works out just fine.
Isn't it interesting how sometimes things you think you'll get backlash on, you don't? And then other times you're like, oh, no one will care. Like, for example, I posted this video about circumcision on TikTok probably a month ago now. And then all of a sudden in the last like 3 days, it's getting views. And when I posted it, I was like, I feel like I'm going to ruffle a lot of feathers. Like, people are probably going to stitch this and cancel me, but whatever, I'm just going to post it. Like, talking about some of the horrific facts about circumcision. The comment section is so supportive. People are like ride or die going for this video. It's been reposted so many times. People are like, thank you. Like, I'm crying. I'm so happy you shared this. And I was, I'm just like, whoa.
You're
not
worried.
The response I was expecting. Like, I've posted things I thought wouldn't be controversial, like my 3-year policy, like every 3 years, like switch up your life. And people are like, fuck you. Do you not have kids? Do you not have a mortgage? You can't just change your life every 3 years. And I'm like, okay, sorry for romanticizing my life. And then I talk about circumcision and people are like, yes, queen.
Yeah, where you thought it was going to be backlash. I definitely knew this was going to get backlash and even kind of rage baited a little bit because I put in the text, watch me fail at the airport theory. Because I'm like, no one's going to watch it if they know that I make my flight. So and it's kind of fucked up because everyone wanted to watch me fail. And I feel like that's literally why it has like almost a million views. So
you poked the bear.
People love a negative hook, which is kind of sad.
I mean, don't they say negative?
And in the
negative
caption, I didn't make it seem like I made it either. I was like, never doing that again, LOL. Because if you give away what happens and they're not going to watch it, especially if you make it, no one wants to root for you. It's awful. It's so true.
Yeah, if your caption was like, oh, phew, they're like, oh.
Yeah, I know, they would just scroll. But anywho.
Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Enough on the negativity. Please tell us about your trip. You just went to Austria with Clay for his 30th birthday.
I don't even feel like our road trip was actually that interesting, but I think it's because I live here now. Like, if I was living in the US, I feel like a European road trip, I would have been like so hyped to talk about it and go. But it seems like not a big deal now because we're on this continent. So it was just like, oh, it's a weekend trip. I don't know.
But that was a new country for both of you or just for Clay?
No, I had actually already been to Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. That's where we went on this trip a couple of different times over the years. But we tried to go to new places within those countries that I hadn't gone to so that it was new for both of us. But yes, this was new for Clay, baby boy, and Peaches. They hadn't been to those three countries yet. And honestly, like, all credit to Clay, he picked out where we went. I was, you know, I love to travel and plan these things. So I was like, okay, well, it's your birthday, so I'm happy to plan this for you and choose where we're going to go. And like, I was looking up stuff, but also since it's your birthday, I want you to truly, truly pick what you want to do. And so he did a little research and we went to Heidelberg in Germany and then Innsbruck in Austria and then a little village is probably how you would classify it because I feel like there were 200 people in that town outside of Innsbruck and stayed in this really pretty, would you call it like a chalet? Is that what those are called? Up in the mountains, kind of like a bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Lucerne and then we came back.
Yeah, which you've been to Lucerne, right? Because I feel like I remember you saying that on our honeymoon recap because we went there.
Yes, I went to Lucerne
and you had a great time.
Maybe like 2021.
Right.
For Christmas.
Yes,
so I remember this. It was a very different atmosphere to be there in the wintertime when it was like really charming with the markets and all of that versus being there in the summer. I have so many random things I could share, but a highlight from Heidelberg, all I wanted was a fucking pretzel. I'm like, okay, came all this way to Germany. Like, if I'm going to do anything here, I can't drink beer. We're not going to Oktoberfest. I want a pretzel. Well, I was very disappointed to find out that the cheese that we put with pretzels in the US, they don't eat them with cheese in Germany. It's just a raw pretzel. And
nothing. Not even mustard?
Nope, just the pretzel. And I went in on a deep dive on Reddit because I was like, wait. When did we add cheese? And like all of these Germans are commenting on it and they're like, why would you add cheese? And we're like, I thought that's what you guys did. And they're like, no. If anything, sometimes butter, but just usually the salt that's on there. And they were even saying in like, and unsalted butter because there's already salt on the pretzel. And Americans are like, I mean, more salt, more butter, more cheese, please. And so it took me 3 tries. I was starting to get a little bit sad because I felt that this should be a very easy mission to accomplish. Like I looked up online, like, is a pretzel, I should know this after studying German for 5 years and like literally being German, but I was like, is a pretzel one of those things that's like, it's not actually German. We just kind of like made it a German thing. Do I have to go to a really special place to find a pretzel? Or are they like available like a donut, like anywhere, everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything on the internet was like, you can find them absolutely everywhere. So I didn't seek anything out. So the first place I pick out this bakery has good reviews. I'm like, okay, great. We're in the rental car. It starts downpouring rain. We realize it's like inside this outdoor shopping plaza. Oh, wait, this was when we were in Cologne first, before we even got to Heidelberg. And so Clay like has the hazards on and I'm like running through this like square. And there was like a huge cultural moment happening outside of the cathedral that hundreds, maybe thousands of people were flocking for. A very interesting music and flags and all of this. And I'm just like running through different people like, where's this bakery so I can get my pretzel? I finally find it out of pretzels. I'm like, okay, devastated. So get back to the car. We go to a second place, closed. It said open online. I don't know if it was because it was raining. It was a little bit later. I don't know if they ran out of things and they just closed. So I'm like, all right, pretzel's not happening. We go to this other place. Clay's having a beer, cute outdoor patio. This is like the next day. No pretzels on the menu. Like where? I just want one pretzel. So I fully give up on my pretzel dreams. And on our way out of Heidelberg, we're like up at the castle, about to get onto the interstate. And I'm like, Clay, can we just give the pretzel one last chance?
No. Like, please. I pretended to forget about it, but I haven't.
I haven't. And like now it's in the final hour, the final minute. And I need a Hail Mary. And we're really close to the old town, which is really authentic and beautiful, like stereotypical German buildings. So I'm like, okay, at least there will be like a souvenir-y type of, like they're appealing to tourists. And I can't be the only tourist out here who wants a fucking pretzel.
Yeah.
So I look up, I find this bakery called Zeit für Brot, Time for Bread. Once again, it's up in this area where you can't have the car. So Clay has to like put the hazards on in this busy street. And I'm running up pregnant in this like little shirt, running up this hill down the street. It's so busy, people everywhere. And I go into this bakery and I see 3 pretzels on the back wall. And I'm like, there's like 10 people in line in front of me. And I'm like kind of starting to panic because I'm like, what if those are the last 3? And like the math is not looking good. What if everyone's here for a pretzel? Thankfully, no one else got the pretzel. So I get up there and I get 1. Clay's like, why didn't you take all 3 of them? Like, I don't know. I like literally just got so excited that they even had 1.
Mm-hmm.
And we shared it. Not gonna lie, it was like by far the best pretzel I've ever had. And
oh, good.
I don't know if that was because it was so good or if I had to work so hard for it.
Right. But no, I bet it was because it was so good.
It really was good. Clay was like, should we like go back and get the other 2? But we'd already like drove off. And yeah, Heidelberg was cute. They call it the most romantic city in Germany. I'm glad we went. It was really cute. I don't know that I would like go out of my way to go like from the United States for, I don't know, a special occasion. But it was nice. It definitely seemed like the type of place, this is going to sound so ageist, that someone in the age gap of like 50 to 70 would be obsessed with. Like on a riverboat cruise, the like picturesque buildings and scenery with higher price points kind of type of vibe. But then Innsbruck was like the opposite. It was much more like young crowd, cool, hip, like the prettiest coffee shop I've ever seen. We went up the gondola to the top of Innsbruck, met the coolest old couple. Shout out Vicky. She's my vision board forever. She and her partner are from the Pacific Northwest, and then they were with another couple from Chicago. They were well into their 80s, I want to say. And they were doing a biking, like an 8-day biking trek around Austria.
Wow.
I'm like, how are you doing this? Like, how many miles are you doing a day? And she's like, oh, you know, you can go between 10 and 20. I mean, you're a badass. How are you up here right now?
It's like you said, yes, stay moving. Don't stop moving.
No, it was so inspiring. Like, there wasn't that many tables at the little restaurant that was up there. So we were sharing a table with them. And we probably talked to them for like 2 hours. It was like a highlight of the whole day. Clay was like, that was like the best birthday present ever. Just like talking to those old people. Great.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, they were really, really, really cute. I guess, yeah, not much to report at the little town, the village. It was very peaceful, beautiful, great breakfast. And then on the way to Lucerne, I'm driving at this point as we're pulling into town. We pull into a parking garage and I'm just going to completely out myself. This is like so embarrassing, but I had to pee so, so, so bad. Like, I knew we were getting close to Lucerne. So I was like, okay, don't worry. Like, I'll hold it because we're going to go get something to eat or go to a coffee shop and then I'll just go there. But then once I like stopped the car, I was like, no, I cannot wait until we get out of this parking garage because we had to keep going. We were like up on the fifth floor and it was so bright and there were so many people walking around. I was like, I can't even like go hide in the corner of this parking garage or something. And so I was like, I'll just pee into this bottle that we have in the car while I'm inside the car. Okay, fine plan. The bottle overfilled in like 1 second. I didn't expect there to be that much, but because I was squatting in the driver's seat with the bottle under me, all the pressure, like the baby was like pushing on my bladder so hard and I was in a squat position. And then like the doors were shut and Clay was like outside of the car already with Peaches. I like open the door and I'm like, Clay, grab something very fast. And he's like, grab what? And I'm like, I don't know, my sweatshirt out of the trunk. And I wasn't specific. So he like brings over like my nice wool sweater. And I'm like, no, 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 something like shitty. Because he thought I wanted to like wear it because I was cold. So he brings me back this like other t-shirt. It just fills up immediately. Like it's just sopping. Oh. And I cannot stop. Like I am trying so hard to practice my Kegels in the moment, but the adrenaline was going. So basically I'm just peeing on the driver's seat at this point. And, you know, it finally stopped. And then he was like, are you okay? And I was like, I mean, I'm fine. I just, I'm a 30-year-old woman who just peed on the driver's seat in broad daylight. Like, I don't really know what to do with myself here. That soaked up a lot. I will say it was also like the clearest pee ever because shout out to the Austrian spring water that I had been downing. It was very, very cleanly hydrated. And so it like didn't smell or anything. Thank God. But then it just kind of set a weird tone because
like, how do you go on after that? You're like, so where are we getting lunch?
Yeah. And Lucerne is a bougie place. So then I change clothes and he's like, let's just like walk down to the water. I'm like, all right. I was going to like change and get ready and put my makeup on. No, I'm wearing biker shorts, this tiny tank top with no bra. And I just look like, it's not even that I look like a tourist. I just looked so out of place. People are like walking around in suits. And I was like, I don't have a care in the world because I just had an accident in the car.
Yeah.
That was honestly like, yeah, my memory of Lucerne was having an accident.
You're like, I'm crazy, but I'm free.
Okay. Let me also say, Clay has been so, so, so supportive of my pregnancy. All of it made me feel good about my body. We're taking pictures and I was like, I want to take one. Like I was like not holding my belly or something, like just standing here. And I take a few, some from the front, some from the side. And I was like, what do you think? And he goes, I think you're going to hate them. And I just like started crying because I was like, that's not what I needed to hear. I needed to hear like, you look stunning. Like, and I didn't. So like, I did hate them. Like he was correct. But he's like, no, he said, you asked what you thought you would think. And he said, I think you will hate them. And I'm like,
that is a correct response. When I take McKenna's pictures, if Connor takes my pictures, I'm like, what do you think? Oh, you're going to hate them. Like, that's a normal. I say that as well.
Yeah, it's fine. Like it's in like, any no, other just, moment, it yeah. wouldn't have been like a crash out moment. But I was just like, oh, no. And so I just am like about to like, I don't know, keep crying. We're walking down the street. And this lady, she like stops me and she was like, oh, I remember when I was pregnant and I had a little dog just like you. And those were just some of the best times of my life. And like, you look so beautiful and just good luck with your pregnancy and motherhood and everything. Have a great life. And I just walked away. And I was like, what angel sent her? Like, thank you.
Aww.
You just Then I really cried. Like, I was holding it back over the other stuff. And then for some reason, that, like, really brought on the waterworks. So then I was just full, like, sobbing.
Aww.
It was sobbing because it was sweet. I was like, thank you for seeing me. Like, she knew somehow that I needed that.
I needed to pick me up. Aww, that's sweet.
And then after that, on the drive home, we did go out of the way to get Chipotle to top it all off.
Yay!
Because I needed something to bring me up.
And like, you made me cry, so we have to go get a bowl.
However, since I've been giving you guys the full rundown on the U.S. version versus the European version, I must share. Chipotle over here, dog shit. Okay.
No.
I get there an hour and a half before close. They close at 9. I get there at 7:30. Okay. I think that's very normal time. I've been to Chipotle up to 5 minutes before close in the States and had amazing experiences. Never even once considered, like, don't get there at the end of the day. Okay. I walk up. No white rice. No tofu. No pico de gallo. No chips. No queso. No guacamole. They're out of all of it. I was like, so,
what do you have?
Yeah. I had brown rice in the bowl, corn. And some lettuce, I think. I think that was, and a little sprinkle of cheese, the shredded cheese.
How did
that
you
was
eat
all that was in my bowl. And it was 12 euros. It was so bad. And even none of it tasted right. Like, the rice was really wet. So, yeah, that was a letdown. But now, you know, more reasons to love the U.S. Chipotle's and to get it every single day when I go back again.
Oh, that's really a bummer.
Yeah. And Clay was excited. He was like, yeah, get me some chips and guac. And I just came out really empty-handed. And I was like, I mean, we both just fully struck out. And I told the guy, I was like, I kind of just drove like 9 hours here. He's like, what? Why? And I'm like, well, not directly, but indirectly. He's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. I really love Chipotle. And he's like, really? Well, now I understand. If that's what you guys are eating, no one would go out of their way for it.
Yeah. Like, now I understood the reaction. What? Yeah. Why? Well, geez, if you knew what it's supposed to taste like, you would do it too.
You would do it too. So that was our road trip.
Gosh.
Oh, the last thing that I thought was so shocking. No border control at any of the borders.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have Peach's pet passport yet. And so we kind of were just like smuggling her around. So I was a little nervous. She's up to date on all of her shots and everything. Like in the U.S., she just doesn't have like the official pet passport yet.
Uh-huh.
And so when we first got to the border, going into Germany, I was like, oh no. You know, I could see it on the GPS like coming up. And all of a sudden it was like, boom, boom, came and went. Like, you know, when you're just driving Nebraska into Iowa, you have a little sign and it's just like, oh, now you're in Iowa. It's all just one sign on the side of the road. That's all it was.
That's great.
Never showed a passport, never got stopped, nothing. I mean, maybe you knew that. I just was very surprised.
Yeah, because it's Schengen. If you're a Schengen country, I don't think they'd enforce anything. Yeah.
I guess I just thought, like, for regular checks and balances.
Yeah. It's kind of like the U.S.
Yeah, state to state.
Yeah.
No, I guess the only one, like, Colorado into Nebraska, there's a little something because of the weed.
Oh, is there?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stop?
You don't have to stop, but, like, there will be, I've seen, like, cop cars or they have, like, some blinking lights that I think they search maybe if there's some suspicious activity.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, even if you take the trains and stuff, all the trains are going in between the different countries, you don't have to stop. Because I
just feel like I remember them at least, like, the guy coming around on the train, like, he would check. I mean, maybe I guess he was just checking my train ticket, but I felt like at least someone knew I was coming into the country or there was, like, paperwork trail. It's so fascinating by car, just, like, nothing. Like, what's stopping people? Me being pessimistic, but I'm like, so when something goes wrong, who's responsible?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is crazy because you can enter into Italy and then leave 2 months later out of Portugal and it's all good. It's all good and dandy because you're like, wait, don't I need to get my passport stamped leaving Italy? No, it's all the Schengen countries.
It's so bizarre to me. Clay was like, oh, I really wanted more passport stamps.
I know.
And
that
I didn't think
that stinks.
We were going to get more passport stamps necessarily, but I thought they would at least ask us where we were going. You know when you go through like a toll and they're like, oh, where are you headed? Because even when I've been to Marfa at the way bottom portion of Texas, I mean, I know you know, but for our listeners, first time I went with you, then went back once or twice, because you're so close to the Mexican border, I've even fully gotten stopped and searched there just with U.S. plates.
Right. Okay, yeah. The Schengen Agreement was in 1985, in which internal border checks have largely been abolished. So if you're part of Schengen, they started to gradually abolish border checks at common borders. So it's kind of like the UNI. It's kind of another version of the United States, pretty much, but less. Obviously, all these countries still have their own identities and different laws and stuff, but it's a way for them all to, yeah, not have to stop every single time. So I'm sure that got annoying. Because a lot of people can expensive. Work. I mean, if you're on a border, Germany, Austria, or Italy, France, you might go grocery shopping in Italy and live in France or vice versa. And maybe back in the day, that was really annoying or something. Because, yeah, you can be, or Switzerland, Italy, a lot of them are really close.
Yeah, that's true. Because we were going through the edge of Liechtenstein, and I was looking up some stats, and it said something like 60% of the workforce of Liechtenstein commutes in from the surrounding countries.
Right.
We almost drove through it just to check another one off, and we're like, okay, we can see it. It's right there.
Yeah. So the more you know. Now, if you guys if you're listening and want to do a road trip, it's really easy.
Yeah, and even with a dog.
Yeah, you're like, not encouraging that, but dot, dot, dot.
They even let Peaches go into the gondola, which, I mean, we should have looked this up, but Clay really wanted to go on this gondola. And so we're just like, well, we have Peaches, so let's go. And we get there, the lady gives us a ticket, and then we go to get on the actual gondola. And the guy's like, oh, you have to have a muzzle. I'm like, where the fuck am I going to get a muzzle right now? It's like Sunday afternoon. I'm like, okay, this is like there's a PetSmart nearby. We go back up to the ticket counter. And he's like, oh, yeah, here you go, $8. She's like, had a muzzle. She's never had a muzzle put on her in her life.
Oh,
I was like, I don't know how this is going to go down, but she handled it really well. I just felt bad because it was kind of hot. So I was like fanning her in the gondola, trying to cool her down. But it looked so sad. Like there was this little girl, her mom was holding her. And I heard her ask in German, like, what is she wearing? Why is that on her face? And so then the mom like explained what it was. And the mom put like a fake muzzle onto the girl. Just, I don't know, they were being playful, like with her hand. And then the little girl was like, woof, 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 like pretending to growl over the mom's muzzle. It was so funny and cute. But then they let her go.
That's just so funny because Peaches is like the most innocent, fluffy, white, girly dog.
And I was like, I wonder if people think that we have this on her because she's going to like bite their face off.
She's going to snap. Yeah, she bites.
Yeah. And then I'm like, are they like, why are you bringing your aggressive muzzled dog into this gondola?
In an enclosed space with strangers. Yeah. A reactive dog.
Like, I swear they made us.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
If you've been loving the weekly episodes of Already Friends and want even more real, raw, and unfiltered conversations from us, come to our Patreon page. Over there, your support helps us keep this public show going every single week. And as a thank you, you'll get instant access to our entire library of bonus episodes. We even go deeper, talking about things we don't always share on the public feed. Think shocking life moments, friendship breakups, controversial opinions, behind the scenes of our businesses, and so much more. It's only $5 a month to join, and we still add new bonus episodes each month. So if you're craving more candid, cozy chats, spicy takes, and big sister energy, head to patreon.com/alreadyfriends, select the $5 a month tier, and you'll become a member. We'd love to have you, and if you've already joined, thank you so much for the support.
Okay, any other funny stories? Anything else?
No, passing the mic back to you. It's 10 p.m. on a Sunday here for me, so at this point, it's fine if this episode keeps going. Like, whatever else you want to share, bring it.
No, I'm trying to think. It can just rapid fire other things we did. We had really good food. So if you guys ever go to New York, a couple recs, I'll link them in the show notes. La Pecora Bianca, an Italian restaurant. Just found it on Google Maps.
Was that the rigatoni on your story?
Yes.
Oh my God. It looked so good.
You know when things look good and they're not good? No, it looked good and it was insane. Also, the portions were massive. They had a lunch special, $28. You got a starter and an entree for $20. And the starter was massive too. Me and McKenna both got the lunch special. So we got two starters. I was full before the pasta even came out. So then I ate probably less than half the pasta. Then I had dinner too. So after, I think we got sparkling water too, and with tax and tip, I think it was around $50 each, or just short of that or something. I'm like, $50 for two meals? That's amazing in New York. No, the food was in, and it was handmade. Yeah, it was handmade in the kitchen. in-house, everything, the pasta, sauces. Oh my God, so good. Wow. They have multiple locations, which highly recommend. Also pop-up bagels, which I'd seen on TikTok. So you know when you see something on TikTok, like I've just seen it over the years. I didn't see it when we got there. I've just known about this place. I'm like, okay, is this worth the hype? It's a bagel shop. Instead of having it sliced in half and the cream cheese or whatever spread in the middle, you rip it and dip the bagel in the cream cheese or whatever dip you choose. And oh my gosh, that's probably my favorite bagel I've ever had at this point now. Pop-up bagel. So, and the line was not bad at all. We waited maybe 10 or 15 minutes from ordering. We ordered right away, just had to wait for the bagels because they were fresh and they came fresh right out the oven. They're burning our hands. They were so hot. Seriously, so worth the hype. So if you ever get to go to Pop-Up Bagel, ripping it and dipping it is kind of the move. Like, so, and we ordered the jalapeno dip. And then when we were waiting, I realized it was like a jalapeno butter. And I'm like, I don't really want to dip this in butter. It sounds weird, a bagel. So I went up to the front and I was like, can I actually swap our dip for a cream cheese? He's like, just keep it. I'll give you cream cheese too, which was so nice of him. Thank God we kept the jalapeno. It was insane. It was so delicious. And we had a cream cheese too. So I need to leave a nice review and not say that he gave me both, but just be like, it was really good. And the guy at the front was really nice because that was so nice of him to let us keep both, because otherwise we would have had to pay twice for it. But seriously, if you go get the jalapeno dip, it was, even if it's butter, it sounded so weird, but we're like, thank goodness we got to keep this and try this because it was so much better than the cream cheese. And oh, Van Leeuwen's ice cream, which I told McKenna that we went when you had visited back in 2019.
Yeah, you created
the honeycomb.
A monster out of me.
It's so good. They've blown up since then. Like, they have so many locations now. And it's kind of like the New York ice cream now, which it was more of a cutesy boutique when we went. But yeah, now they've blown up. And the honeycomb, so good.
Why do I remember something weird happening when we were there?
Yes, I remember. I know what it was. I know exactly what it was. Well, if this is what you're thinking of, that girl, when you were talking about Buenos Aires, Argentina, this girl was like, you had said Buenos Aires, just, I don't know. And she's like, it's Buenos Aires. And she was not Latina. She was white. Sorry, that's mean. Like, she's not, she's not Argentinian. She's literally from the U.S. And that girl was like, and you said, yeah, Buenos Aires. And you said it twice. And she's like, Buenos Aires. Is that what you're thinking of?
I totally remember that. But there was something else like, no, actually at Van Leeuwen's.
Oh, like, I feel sitting like we were having a giggly laughing fit over something and like delusional.
I think we were super, super tired because it was like really late when we got it.
Yeah. And we couldn't stop. And we got brownie batter or something.
It was so good. And when it came into Natural Grocers in Omaha, the summer where I was in my big truck and boxing era, it was equaled out by pints of Van Leeuwen's because I was like, if I go to boxing, I can have Van Leeuwen's after. It was a great time.
It's good, so era. Good. So all of those, highly recommend. And last funny story I'll say, and then we can just be done. Me and McKenna, on one of the days, we were having coffee and you know how sisters are. We were just fighting over something really stupid. Like, I can't even describe what we were fighting over. Just like stupid. Like, it's literally, I would sound insane for how dumb this argument was. But we were arguing. And McKenna was arguing for one point, I was arguing for the other. And I remembered, so my friend Chris, who also lives in New York City, we didn't get to see him because he was out of town. But it reminded me of my time working in the office because me, Chris, and Logan are all very opinionated. And we would get in arguments, like stupid arguments that are just like funny. And at some point, like 6 months into our friendship, Chris just decided he wasn't going to argue anymore. And if we got into these dumb arguments, he'd be like, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry. And he would just like apologize. And so me and McKenna are in this argument. I was like, you know what, you're right, I'm so sorry, you're right, I crossed the line, you're right. And she was so confused. And I was just dying laughing. And so I texted Chris. I was like, I just pulled the C-Shop argument method where you just back down and apologize. And McKenna was so confused. And he goes, yes, it confuses your opponent. Highly recommend. It works every time.
No, especially if you never do that. I'm sure she was taken aback.
It was so funny. So I highly recommend if you're arguing with a sibling or someone over something really stupid where you both want to be right, just fully 180 and be like, actually, you're right. I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have said that, or I'm fully wrong. I'm sorry. Just like keep saying I'm sorry. And yeah, just what Chris texted me was so funny. Like, it fully confuses your opponent. Works every time. I'm like, yeah. So highly recommend the C-Shop argument theory. Argument method.
It's like a Uno card.
Yes. Uno reverse. So all in all, it was a great week. I could say more, but for now, those are the main points. And I need more New York time. I mean, we both agreed and had met and chatted with other people. There's just no other city in the world like New York. There's similar ones, but there is no comparable just like it, which, yeah, makes your time all the more special, all the more reason to keep going back, because there's just such cool energy, cool people, cool things going on. No other city compares.
No, that's really funny. I'm glad that you got to go back to New York. Every time you go, I'm like, yes, I know how I feel. Like, that's Amsterdam for me. And so I know, like, New York for you, it just brings up nostalgia, good era times, gets you re-inspired. So I'm really happy for you whenever I know you're going to New York.
Yes. And there were some girls at the Matilda Jerf event who had just moved there. And there's like that TikTok sound that's like, you're in for the best ride of your life or something. I don't even know. And I was thinking that, I'm like, girlies, you don't even know. It's so fun. I'm always very happy when I meet people who have moved there. Because even if you only do it for a year, even if you only do it for a couple months, like, it's so worth it. You learn so much. You get humbled. You learn how to navigate the worst public transportation system in the world. You get tougher. It's a lot of things.
I'm really happy that my For You page knows how much I love the home tours of people's places in New York. Two that came across my page in the last couple of days, and I was actually going to say one of them, but the first was this guy who pays like $6.75 for this 8-foot by like 10-foot little space, and he has to share a bathroom with someone down the hallway. But it is the sweetest video. This man is so happy. He's like, I have everything I need. I have my cat. I have the world at my fingertips. This window, the plants. I roll out my mat here. I make a little bit of tea here. My bed's upstairs. Like, it was such an encouraging video to show that, like, if you want to do something, you can make it happen. It's like all in your mindset, because so many people could complain in this man's situation. And he was just beaming with joy. Like, after 2 years of living there, he had no complaints. It was a really delightful video. I'll link it in the show notes. And then the second one, total other end of the spectrum, was Susie Welch. Do you know her? Okay. I'm sad I'm saying this at the very end of the episode, because we're going to need to circle back on this. But the guy, you know, runs into her. She shows the house. And I'm like, this lady is kick ass. I want to be her. She's like an author, a professor. And she created this thing called the Values Bridge. Because after I saw this video of her in her house, I'm like, who is this lady? What does she do? I need to know. And so I found her podcast. And then she's talking about the Values Bridge. And it's this, the test is free, but you only get the top four values for free. And then you can pay $30 to unlock the other 12. Well, I took the test. And I feel like we need to do an episode where we both pay for the $30 and talk about it and go through, because it was a really unique test. I mean, you know, you guys know us. Like, we love all of our astrology and personality tests and quizzes and things like that. But my number one was, they call it something weird. Let me look at the name of how to pronounce it. One sec.
So it's measuring things that you value, your top things that you value in life?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I feel like would be more common, but somehow I've never taken one.
Yeah.
Of that. Have you?
No, it sounds like something maybe on my dimensional app, but not probably as detailed as what this is.
Oh my gosh. And the branding of this website and the whole aesthetic layout of all of it, gorgeous, stunning. Like, they did a great job. But it's called Eudaimonia, E-U-D-E-M-O-N-I-A, is my number one core value. And it's basically like, you just love to enjoy life. You will put everything else on the back burner to have a great day. For you, it's all about romanticizing everything. Sure, you like money. Sure, you like relationships and people. But first and foremost, every single day, you're just going to do whatever you want to do that you enjoy in that moment. I'm like, yeah, this is why I can't have a 9-to-5, because if I don't like something an hour in front of me, this is why I can't plan things far off, because I'm like, I don't know what type of mood I'm going to be in. And my number one core value is like, I have to enjoy every single moment as much as possible.
Wow.
Like, thank you. I feel validated. And they're like, not that people that don't have this one as their top one don't want to enjoy life, but they might be like putting their career above it, or their family, or all the other ones. And I was like, yeah, well, this tracks.
You're like, this makes so much sense. Okay. So
I'm really curious what yours are.
No, I'm definitely going to have to take this. It sounds very interesting.
And I'll read you guys my my other three. Number two was belovedness. Number three was cosmos, which is spirituality or religion. But I would say the app quiz testing is a little bit more spiritual than religious. And then number four, scope. We kind of have unique names, but I don't feel like I'm doing due diligence explaining it. I'm going to link it in the show notes for you guys. And I feel like once you take it and start reading into these, it's really comprehensive, very beautiful, very well done.
And one more time, what is it called?
Values Bridge. And the lady that created it is Susie Welch. So if you type either of those in, it'll come up.
Okay, I remembered what I was going to say when you're talking about all that stuff. Fun fact, my friend from Mizzou used to live in one of those micro apartments, probably the exact same one. She doesn't live there anymore, but I think there's like a handful of them, maybe on one floor, a couple floors, but she lived there for just under a year. And had a dog
down
too.
The hall.
Yeah. And she was on one of those videos. The Caleb, I don't know his last name.
Yeah. Guy. Yep. For me, size is fine. I would have no issue with the 8x10, but sharing a bathroom on a floor with a bunch of people in New York, I don't know that I could overcome it with my germaphobeness.
I don't know. Okay, yeah. Or just maybe wouldn't feel as homey as it could.
I feel like I'd be peeing in my kitchen sink. Or like...
Oh my God. In a bottle. On a t-shirt.
Apparently so. But I just don't know if I would want to be... I wouldn't feel clean. Because who cleans it?
I don't know. I don't know. We can have Elena on. She can talk all about it.
If it was like four people, okay. But I'm just picturing like college dorm where it's like 24 people.
It might be less. They might have a couple bathrooms. Maybe they split four and four or something. But I mean, some might argue it's no different than having roommates having to share a bathroom. I'm sure you get to know everybody. Maybe, yeah, get on some sort of cleaning schedule. Maybe it's extra clean. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's cleaner than when you share an apartment with two people that you know. And everyone's just a little too comfortable with themselves and they don't clean it at all. I've seen some nasty shared living spaces, bathrooms in a private home.
I'm scared. That's not for me. The only time I had multiple roommates, three of the four of us were very diligent about the cleaning. It was an issue.
Yeah, I feel like I've had lucky. I have never had like super disgusting roommates, thank goodness. But I can definitely think of times where I'm like, oh, this is you're expecting us all over here and this is how you made this bathroom look. It wasn't a surprise attack. Like, we were invited here and this is how it looks. Huh.
I don't know what's worse, a really messy kitchen or a really messy bathroom. Because if the bathroom's really messy, I'm like, you're just bringing all the germs out here and you're like never getting clean. But with the kitchen, I'm like, this is where you're preparing food.
You're like, oh, actually, I'm not that hungry.
Oh, yeah, I say that 100%. I would say that. We had these family friends growing up. Oh, my God. It was like me and my mom and sister were reminiscing over the trauma. I think this is actually where my germophobia comes from.
Oh.
They would not clean. So we had dogs. They had dogs. We'd bring our dogs. One time, our dog like peed on their carpet because their dogs like literally pee and poop in their house and they like don't clean it up.
Sorry, that's not funny. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. And so our family dog, not Peaches, like growing up, had an accident in their house because she was like marking on top of their marking. They're like, oh, don't worry, just leave it. Like, they had things growing in the corners, the stench that this house had. He was probably wondering like why my parents were friends with them. It was like
I was thinking
work
that,
friend.
Yeah, I was like, what?
The dad was so sweet. I hope to God these people never listen. I don't think they would. I mean, we haven't talked to them in like 20 years. But
if they haven't fixed this, maybe this is a wake-up call. If they ever
it was so horrific. Like, bugs would be crawling across the kitchen table and the counters. And the thing was, they would like tell us that they cleaned before we came. Be like, yeah, we were getting everything ready for you guys. And we're like, oh, really? Because it's so scary in here. I can remember every detail. Like, seriously, when I was back in Omaha last time, me, my mom, and sister were like, our memories of visits to their house are so clear in my mind. Like, I can remember the pattern on the bedspread. I can draw every angle of that house, like the scary things in the bathroom. Like, it is imprinted in my mind forever.
Oh my God, I'm crying. Oh, it's not funny, but like, I can see why this probably traumatized you.
Yeah,
that
this
sounds horrific.
This might be the root cause.
No, it sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm so lucky I had clean parents. Like, my memories coming home from school is like, the house smells so clean. The windows are open. It's fall. My mom's lighting a candle. Ellen's playing. Yeah. Yes, definitely don't forget Ellen. Like, Ellen was always on when we came home. It smelled so good and clean. And I feel like I've carried that over. Obviously, have my times where I'm like, oh my God, I've let this house go to shit. I got to flip it around. But not like dirtiness, just like clothes. Like, my house is never dirty. Like, that's just, I'm very lucky that I was instilled to have a clean mindset.
There's a huge difference between messy, dirty, and clutter.
Yes, exactly. Like, I'm not going to not say I don't have clutter. Like, I'll get a lot of packages or come home from a trip and have like three loads of laundry that just like need to go in the basement. I'm like, oh my God, I have to haul this down two flights of stairs. Like, all of a sudden my closet is exploding with things that need to be put away. But there's not disgusting dirt, trash. Like, there's no.
Same. I'm glad. I mean, I'm not going to say I couldn't be friends with someone like that, because now in adulthood, you don't necessarily like go to people's houses all the time.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that we both can keep a clean house.
Yeah. I think about other people. I'm like, yeah, if your kitchen's disgusting. And yeah, again, I think it is how I was raised. Thanks, Lolo, for drilling it into me to be clean.
Same. Maybe even a little too much. Like, my dad rearranges the dishwasher and I have to do that. Like, yeah, the same plates have to be in the same row, and you know,
yeah, it's things fine. Like that. It's fine.
Anyway,
okay,
guys.
Well, that is enough for this for now.
We started with DERF Av and travel, and we ended up here. Sounds like a Patreon episode.
It does. If you guys like this format, this is how we do all our Patreons for the most part. So head over there, patreon.com/alreadyfriends, and you can get more juicy, interesting episodes like this.
And we'll be back next week with maybe something a little more substantial, but who knows?
Well, thank you guys for being here for another episode of Already Friends. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.